For this morning's reading, let's turn to the Gospel of Mark and read from chapter number 12 and begin reading with verse number 13.
Načinu da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz Svetog Evanđelja po Marku, 12. glava, od 13. stiha i nadalje.
And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true, and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it, and he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, If a man's brother die, and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her, and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, knowing, or because ye know not the scripture, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts. Which devour women, widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. What a great blessing it is that we can be here in God's house together and have his word before us, and just knowing that all of us have prayed at some point this morning that God's blessings would be among us and that we would feel his presence as we assemble together in the name of Jesus Christ and as we speak of his word and all these things, we are truly blessed, and we give our Father the thanks for what he does for us each and every time we gather together. This morning hour, we read a portion of scripture in the Gospel of Mark that speaks of the teaching of Jesus Christ. And there are instances here where he's teaching to various groups of people and to individuals as well. And we see his teaching in his word. And he came here to teach us the ways of God and to be a great teacher. But even more than simply just a teacher, he became our Savior, our Lord, and our Savior. And we give him thanks for that as well. At the central of his teaching here is in the middle of our reading that we had, that as he was asked, what is the great commandment by that scribe, his response was, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So this is the teaching of Jesus Christ. There's no other commandment that's greater than this, that we would love our God, who is the Lord, with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we would love our neighbor as ourself. There's no greater commandment. This is it. If you take the Old Testament and you boil it down to two commandments, these would be the two commandments. If you take the message of Jesus Christ, this would be the message of Jesus Christ. Love God with everything, with all of your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible says that love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And so this is the central theme to Jesus Christ's teaching. And so we take that to heart. And we know that this is a matter of the heart, that with our hearts we would love the Lord, that he would be first in our lives and in all things. There is nothing here about loving ourselves. It's loving the Lord and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Loving the Lord with all of our heart. And so as we go through these teachings that Jesus Christ had for these individuals and for these groups of people, we can see that theme being played out over and over, that it's central to the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Where does our love lie? And so we have to ask ourselves that. Where does our love lie? What is our love in? Is it truly for the Lord above all else? Above ourselves, our importance, or the things that we have? Just as they needed to consider that, we need to consider that as well. So he needs to be Lord of our lives, and we need to love him with everything that we have. So the first group that comes to him is a group of Pharisees and Herodians, and they were sent unto Jesus. And they didn't come sincerely. They were looking to catch him at his words. And they come unto Jesus, and they say unto him, Master. Again, noting that he is some great teacher. He was a master. And so the Pharisees here and the Herodians were addressing him as such. They were addressing him as Master. Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, that, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. They weren't sincere in this address, although this is truth, that Jesus came here to bring forth life to all men, and that he came to bring forth the word of God in truth. And so they ask him, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or no? Does the Mosaic law allow us to give taxes, to pay taxes to the government? Or is there a way out? Shall we give or shall we not give? Is there a way where we can not pay taxes according to the law of Moses? And he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? He knew their hearts and he read their hearts, and he's expressing to them that I know how you're coming to me. There's nothing that you can hide. And why are you trying to tempt me? Put me in a spot where I could be in trouble with the Roman government. And so he tells them, bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it forth, and he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. And he answering and said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. He spoke this to them, and he's teaching them. He's teaching them, this money, it's got the image of Caesar on it. Caesar likes these things. And it's true even through today that on all our currency, it's the heads of state that are on the currency. And so he's telling them, give that to them. That's what they want. Give that to them. But to God, give what's God's. What's God's? Is it not our very hearts? To love God with all of our heart? And so we are to render unto God the things that are God's. He created us. He wants us to glorify him. He wants us to live for him. He wants us to speak of his goodness. And just as all his other creation gives glory unto him, we are to give glory unto him. And so we do that by giving unto him the love that comes from our hearts. And so we love him with all of our heart. And so God is asking, and Jesus is teaching us here, to render unto God the things that are God's. So we render unto God our hearts. But the money that the governments want, and perhaps that the Herodians and the Pharisees wanted, that belongs to the government. That belongs to the things that are of this world. So he's saying, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, or give unto about this life, the things that are temporal of this life, but give our lives to the Lord and think upon that which is eternal. And it says they marveled at him. They marveled at this teaching. He brought forth teaching, and they marveled at it. They said, yeah, that's true. That's true. So that was one teaching that he brought forth to the Herodians and to the Pharisees. And now come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and they bring forth a circumstance, they bring forth a case. So here's this case, that seven men had a wife, they all married her, none of them had children. And this resurrection thing that you people like to talk about, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. So they said, in this resurrection thing, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. They're trying to put him in a circumstance where this can't be true. This can't be true. If all the seven men had her, all these seven brothers had her, who could she be then in the resurrection? And Jesus' response to them, again, very truthfully, he says, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. He's telling the Sadducees, you haven't spent time in the word. You haven't absolved yourself in the word of God, and you don't understand it. And you don't understand the power of God. Is God limited? Is God just a God for a certain time? And so he tells them, you don't know the scripture. You don't know the power of God. And so he addresses their question directly, and he says to them, for when they shall rise from the dead, and there will be a resurrection, basically he's telling them, there will be a resurrection, and they do live, When they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And so Jesus is telling them that we're sown in corruption, but we're raised in incorruption. In this eternal life, there's no such thing as marriage. There's no marriage there. That is for earth. That is for this time that we are here upon this earth. And so the scriptures teach us that while a husband and a wife are alive, they are bound to each other. They are bound to each other. But when one dies, they're no longer bound. That goes away. And so he's teaching them that we are going to rise in incorruption. And there is no marriage there in heaven. So that addresses their question that they had there in regards to which of the brothers would have this wife in the resurrection. But then he speaks to them of the resurrection itself. And he says, "And as touching the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses? Haven't you read in Moses, you Sadducees? How in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err." He's telling them, God is alive. He has been for forever, and he is the God of the living. He gives life unto all. He gives life. He's the giver of life. Without God, there is no life. And so he's the God of the living. And our souls will live on throughout all eternity. And he is our Lord, and he is our God, and he wants us to be in his presence and be a part of that resurrection of life. And so he's speaking to them, and he's telling them these things, and we learn from this as well. So he spoke to the Pharisees and to the Herodians and to the Sadducees, and now comes unto him a scribe, and he's going to teach him as well. And so one of the scribes come, and having heard them reasoning together and perceived that he answered them well, he answered them well. The scribe recognized that, at least this scribe. The scribes had a bad reputation as well. They weren't right with God. And Jesus himself said there on the Sermon on the Mount that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and of the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so the scribes, in general, knew the scriptures, but didn't follow it. But this one, this scribe in particular, when he heard Jesus reasoning with the Sadducees, he knew that Jesus answered him well. He knew that was good. And the Bible records that, and Jesus knew that of this individual scribe. And so this scribe asks Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answering him, that which we've already read, that there is one but one Lord, there is none other beside. There is just but one Lord, and he is alive, and he lives forever. He's from everlasting to everlasting. And we as his creation should love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we should love our neighbor as ourself. And Jesus says that there is none other commandment greater than these. And so this is the message that we need to take with us this morning. There's no other commandment greater than these, that we would give unto God our everything, that we would love him with all that we have. If we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, is there room for love for anything else? We have to love the Lord more than we love ourselves. We have to love the Lord more than we love our possessions. And that needs to be evident in our lives. And this is the teaching of Jesus Christ. And so the scribe responds to Jesus after Jesus tells him that there is none other commandment greater than these two. Says, well, Master, that thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Here is a scribe who was familiar with the law. Back in this day, there was no printing press yet invented, and so the scribes, as I understand it, that they would write the law of Moses, and they would write these laws that the Lord had placed. And the transaction or the things that happened in the time of Israel. So there were these scribes who wrote these things. And I don't know all the distinctions between the Herodians and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and scribes, but they were the religious leaders of the time, and each had their individual roles. And so this scribe, as the others, as the Pharisees and the Herodians and the Sadducees, this scribe also addresses Jesus as master, a great teacher. A great teacher. But he answers Jesus correctly, and he comes to this realization that if we do these things, if we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, that that's more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. He recognized these things. As he penned all those laws and as he penned the Old Testament, he came to understand who God is and his mercy and what God desires. We know that back in the book of Samuel, that familiar verse that, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." That's what God is looking for. For us to obey and to listen to what God would have us to say. Jesus came here to teach us on this earth. He came here upon this earth to teach us. And that we are to hearken to that and we are to obey that. We are to live for him. In Isaiah, we read of this contrast between obeying, loving the Lord and sacrifices. So it says, "Hear the word of the Lord. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs and of he-goats." God is telling the Israelite people, "I don't want your sacrifices. That's not what I'm looking for. I don't want them. I delight not in them. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me." They thought they were burning these incense and this was such a beautiful thing for God. They were doing this, burning this incense. Such a wonderful thing. The Lord's response to that, "It's an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbath, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even your solemn meetings." Can you imagine as the Jews were gathering together and they would have this solemnness, the incense is burning and they're quiet and they're reverent and they're wearing their white, their robes, just the right, everything is right. And the Lord is saying here, it's iniquity. That's iniquity. Why was it iniquity? Because they didn't love the Lord with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. They didn't love the Lord with their everything. And so he's telling them, this is what I want you to do. Wash you, make you clean, put away evil from your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. This is what he's telling them. Stop doing evil. I'm not worried about the sacrifices, the burnt offerings. I'm not looking for that. Put away evil from your doings. Make you clean. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widow. This is what I want you to do. This is what it's all about. When we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, we will cease to do evil. We will love the Lord. There will be no more need for this burning of incense and the sacrifice. We will obey the Lord, and he will be well pleased, and he will bless our lives. And we will feel his presence in our lives. So Jesus, this great teacher, but yet beyond just the great teacher, teaches the scribe that. And as the scribe came to this realization that, to love God with everything and our neighbor as ourselves, that's more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So Jesus' response to that was, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Here was a scribe that Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of a scribe, you're not going to get to heaven. that they didn't have the righteousness that he was that the Lord is looking for. But Jesus now is telling this scribe in particular, because he answered discreetly, that thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Jesus reads our hearts, and we know that to be true. I don't believe any one of us here in this room denies that Jesus knows our hearts. He knows what's in our hearts. He knew what was in the hearts of the Herodians and the Pharisees. He knew what was in the hearts of the Sadducees. He knew what was in the heart of this scribe that came to him. And he knows what's in our hearts. Do we love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself? Is that the condition of our heart? The Lord knows our heart. It's been said many times that we can fool some of the people some of the time, but we'll never fool God. And I believe that we all believe that and know that to be true. And after that, durst ask him no man any question. No one asked any more questions. He was teaching to them, and they knew that what he was teaching was correct. They marveled at him in one teaching. The scribe knew that he was speaking truth. And so for that time then, no man after that durst ask him any questions. And so Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, he's teaching the people this. And again, he knows, but he has but a short ministry, a short time to speak forth the word of God. And he says, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? How could Jesus Christ be the son of David? When David himself is saying, you are Lord. You are Lord. And that verbiage that came from him came by the Holy Ghost. And it says, and so we know from that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord of all. Lord of all. The Jew, the Gentile, Lord of the Sabbath. He is Lord of all. And he will always be Lord of all. And it says that the common people heard him gladly. The people that had no errors about themselves, who were just the common people, they listened to the Lord and they knew this man is teaching truth. We've heard the message of the Pharisees. We've heard the message of the scribes, the Sadducees. They all bicker among themselves and they try to oppress us. We've heard their message and we've heard their message many times. But this man, he's telling us truth. And we know that to be truth. And we can see even that the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that they're struggling with the truth that this man is bringing. They were struggling with it. And so the common people heard him gladly. Those that didn't have any pride in their lives, as we see that among the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, that they had pride in their lives. And so another teaching, he says to them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes. So this is the scribes in general. There was the one scribe who understood and marveled at the teachings of Jesus Christ and acknowledged his teaching to be true. But now he's saying about the scribes in general, he's saying beware of them. They love to go in long clothing. They love to go in long clothing. That's where their love lied. That's where their love was. Look at me. Look at me. Look at my long clothing. They didn't love the Lord with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's not where their love lied. Their love lied in their long clothing. And salutations, and love salutations in the marketplaces. That's what they loved. To be in the marketplace, to have all these people around, and everybody's interacting with each other, and then to be told, Rabbi, Rabbi. They love that. They love the praise of men. That's where their love lied. And so that's why Jesus is saying that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so that's where their love lied. And they loved the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts. And they devoured widows' houses. When we're quickly running out of time, when we think of that, they devoured widows' houses. When we observe somebody who's devouring food, isn't that kind of disgusting? It's a disgusting thing when animals do that as well. They devour food. And here Jesus is describing the scribes as such, that they're devouring widows' houses. Such a disgusting visualization of their behavior. They had no problem devouring widows' houses. And for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive the greater damnation. These shall receive the greater damnation. This is the result of a heart that is full of love for themselves and not a love for God and a love for their neighbor. Pride cometh before the fall, pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Before that fall comes, it's because there was pride. There will come a fall, and what resulted in that fall was pride. God knows our hearts. He knows our hearts, and he's asking us to have a heart that loves him. A heart that would love that one God. And so the last teaching here in this portion of Scripture is that Jesus is sitting over against the treasury, and he's watching people as they're casting in their money. And it says that the rich came, and they cast in of their abundance. They were casting in a lot. And perhaps they did it as fulfilling the law of giving tithes, of giving their 10%, and they did it. But it becomes evident that they did it that others would see. So perhaps they're wealthy and they're giving of their abundance, and people are watching them give of their abundance. To me, I'm thinking that, well, they had to do this, so they were going to do it, but if because their heart was not right, if we're going to do this, we're going to let other people see this as well. So we get a little bit of glory because their hearts were not right. And then comes along a poor widow, and she casts in two mites. Very, very low value of money. So if two mites make a farthing, as it says here, in the Bible I have at home says that four farthings makes a penny. And so it was that, going back to the first teaching that we read this morning, that Jesus says, show me a penny, the Pharisees and the Herodians were able quite quickly to pull out a penny and show Jesus the penny that he asked them to see. So they pulled out of their pockets quickly four times the net worth of this poor widow. But Jesus is saying here that this widow put in more than all those that put in of their abundance. Why? Because her heart was all in it. It was all in it. She had a love for her neighbor. She had a love for the Lord. And she gave it. She gave her all. She gave her all. Even all of her living. She loved the Lord. It wasn't too much to ask. She didn't do it with pomp. She just loved the Lord, and she glorified the Lord. And so, truly, there's a lot that we can take from a reading that we've had, such as this morning. But the central part of the teaching is that we would love the Lord with everything. Last Wednesday night, we read of denying ourselves. It takes a denial on our part to curb our appetites, to curb our pride, to curb our carnality, and to love the Lord, to love him with our all, not holding back at all, loving the Lord, and then loving our neighbor as ourselves, looking out for the welfare of those who are in our proximity, however and wherever that might be. This is how the Lord is glorified. And so as we reach the end of our life, and we go the way of all the earth, we know that it'll be a great blessing, if we know that from our hearts, from our very hearts, nothing less, we loved him with our all, and that we loved our neighbor as ourselves. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
This chapter, the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 12, speaks about many things. The first part of it, which was not read today, but I'm sure we read it many times, speaks about the parable of the vineyard. Then Jesus Christ speaks about giving the tribute or taxes to Caesar, what we need to offer to Caesar, to the government, and what we need to offer to God. And then also speaks about the resurrection with Sadducees, which did not believe in resurrection, did not believe in spirits, did not believe in angels. Very interesting that the people that did not believe in resurrection have a question about resurrection. It's like an atheist coming and asking someone about God, and yet they do not believe in God. But the reason they ask him is because they want to tempt him, to catch him in his word. And he did put him to shame, as he did to all those that were tempting him. Speaks about the greatest commandments. His brother touched about all these things, the beautiful and blessed chapter. The two commandments, which we all need to follow. And then also at the end, he speaks about the poor widow that gave everything that he had, that she had. You know, God has created us with two hands. With one, we give. With the other, we receive. We need to give and we need to receive. If we never receive, how will the others give? So we need to do both, receive and give. One verse I would like to spend just a little time on. When Jesus spoke about the greatest commandment, the two commandments, the scribe that was listening, he says, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. There's only one God, and there's none other but he. And to love him with all your heart, your mind, your strength, and faith, and all that." When Jesus heard that, he says, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." You are not far from heavenly kingdom. My dear friends, how far are you from the heavenly kingdom? You are here because you love God, because you believe in God, because you want to serve him. That's the reason you are here. You might not be as far as you think you are. You might be very close to heavenly kingdom. What is holding you back? Is it Satan? Satan cannot hold anyone back. He has no power. When Adam and Eve sinned, was it Satan that picked up the fruit and tied their hands and forced it into their mouths to eat? No. He just tempted them. He lied unto them. He's the father of lies. He tempts us. He offers us the sin. It is up to us whether to receive it from him or not. We have a lot more strength and power if we trust in God, of course. Our own power, we have none. We trust in God, we have power to reject Satan. He has no power over us. When we sin or we make a mistake, it's because of our own flesh. As brother mentioned in the prayer, we need to examine our own selves. We all do. To get rid of the pleasure, the eyes, our mind, our soul, our heart. That's what draws us away from God. God does not walk away from us. We walk away from God. If we feel that God is not really close to us, did God move or did we move? We took the steps back. We go away from God. We stray, not God. God wants to be with us. He wants to protect us. He loves us. He cares for us. It's our own body, our flesh, that sins. It's not Satan. He's offering. That's all he can do is offer. Tries to persuade us, to trick us, to deceive us, to take us back. That's what he's trying to do. But he cannot force us. We cannot say, "Well, he did it. It's not my fault." It is our fault when we do something wrong. So let us be in a prayer and continually pray to our Heavenly Father to give us strength and faith and endurance and love. and all that we need so that we can stay on this narrow road that leads to everlasting life. And God will help us. He will walk with us. He will protect us. That's the promise that he has given unto us. And he is faithful that he will keep his holy promise unto us. And we have promised that we will serve him faithfully. Let us keep our end of the promise that we made. And may God bless his word. Amen.